brings us to the fourth step. And I think I'm going to read it. I don't think I'm going to read it. I know I'm going to read it. Turn it over, if you will, to Joshua. Good old Joshua, chapter 1. Look at Ralph, it's in there. Oh, it's not in you. You came half prepared again, huh? Poor Ralph. Always coming half prepared. What is David going to learn? Say the whole word, not half the word. The whole word. It's like going out with half a sword. I bet you know what that's like, don't you? Always got to handle it. And a holster. That's it. Amen. If you love God, say amen.
Amen.
Book of Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that had I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and have a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and have a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself. Couldn't have done it. Be strong and have a good courage. That's step 4. We've read already, we've studied already, how studying the Word, reading the Word, meditating in it day and night is part of the first step and the second step. Well, it's part of the third, the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh. It's the key to the whole thing. But tonight I want to look at this one thing. Be strong and have a good courage. Look at it. I want to show you something. The one thing that stops people from doing God's will is one particular thing. Fear. Fear. I'm going to show you something tonight that some of you all may raise an eyebrow at. If you're like Mickey Baldwin, you only got one to raise. So raise it up. Raise the whole thing if you want. Some of y'all might really be surprised, but I'm going to show you something. Fear is not, turn around, James. Fear is not a human emotion. Fear is not a human emotion. God never gave man fear. It was never part of man's makeup. Now, people say we're born with fear. People say we're born in that. Well, that's a lie. Have you ever seen a newborn baby? You take a newborn baby and put it in water. There's no fear of that water. That baby has no fear. Put it in that water, just holds its breath and swims around. It's not till that baby is older that it's afraid of the water. Now, if fear was an emotion, the baby would have had it when he was born. But it's not an emotion. Are you with me so far? Now, let me show you something. If you take your hand and you come into the house and somebody left the stove burner on and you didn't know it, and you put your hand on that burner, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Ralph? Remove it quickly. You're going to pull your hand back. Am I right? Why? It's going to burn. And it's going to hurt. Amen? What caused the hurt? James.
Hotness.
Where did it come from? The burner. Here, Ralph, learn from this child. The burner caused the pain. Amen? And the result of being burned by the burner is your hand feels it, the nerve goes, and you pull your hand back. Amen? The burner is no more part of your hand than this carrot is part of your hand. Is that right? Okay. So therefore, wouldn't it be stupid to say the burner is part of your hand? Now it's true. The hand is part of your body. And the nerves transmitted the pain to the brain and back again. The brain interpreted it. Amen? But the burner caused the pain. Amen. Fear is like that burner. Fear is a spirit. It's not an emotion. It's a spirit. And when fear hits you, fear is like that burner touching you. When that spirit of fear hits you, you react emotionally. Anybody see what I'm saying here? Anybody see this? You react emotionally to what the spirit of fear puts on you. And the purpose of the spirit of fear is to keep you from doing what God says. Be strong and have a good courage. My Bible says God does not give us a spirit of fear. If God calls it a spirit, I can call it a spirit. Amen? If God calls it a spirit and man calls it an emotion, then man is wrong, God is right. So the Word of God says that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but He does give us what? Power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind. Fear causes an unsound mind. Do you see that? If your mind is rooted, grounded in the Word of God, and then your mind will be sound. When your mind is not rooted, grounded in the Word of God, your mind is not sound. It's open to terror and fear and worry and mental anguish and strife and all those things that are of Satan, not of God. Can you see that? Can you all see that? The bottom line is, get rid of the fear. Get rid of the fear. And the way you get rid of a thing is you have to know what that thing is that you're getting rid of. Unless you know what it is, you can't see it, you can't get rid of it. Fear is a spirit. It is not part of you, it is not of you, it's not for you. It's of Satan, it comes against you, and his job is to destroy you. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Just prior to that, he prefaced it with this. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, are we saying that Jesus is a thief? God forbid. The devil is the thief. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And his greatest tool is fear. Paul says, talking about taking on the whole armor of God, he speaks of the shield of faith. And the shield of faith, the job of that is to quench the fiery darts of the devil. The fiery darts of the devil is fear. It's fear. Because it is fear that causes doubt. It's fear that causes disbelief. It's fear that causes defeat. It's fear. It's fear. It's fear. And we're not to have it. We are to have love, power, and a sound mind. That's what God calls for us to have. Now, if you have the love, the power, and a sound mind, and you rebuke and get rid of the fear, then will you be able to do all that God commands you to do. And because you do what God commands you to do, you will prosper in whatever you do. Fear. Christians are the biggest brain cats I've ever met. I've sat in churches and watched these Christians sit in those churches and wring their hands worrying about whether or not how they're going to get a bill paid. Oh, should I put anything in the basket or not? Because if I do, I won't get my bill paid. You know what I tell people like that? Keep your money in your pocket. I don't want it. I don't want it. Because that's the kind of person that's going to look for someone to blame their sin on other than themselves. Amen? I remember one night I was preaching in a church down in Florida. Got to preaching in this church about, I said, woe unto the prostitutes. And everybody said, amen. And I said, woe unto the drunkards. And everybody said, praise God. And I said, woe unto the fornicators. And everybody said, hallelujah. I said, woe to you Christians who worry. And everybody went, ha! The devil said, hallelujah, praise God. I mean, man, it was just like somebody poured water on them. They didn't like that. I lumped them right in with the rest of the sinners. Worry is a sin. That's something that Christians have to get a handle on. It's not a mistake. It's not a character flaw. It's not an emotion. It's a sin. Pure and simple. Amen. Worry is a type of fear. See? Worry is a type of fear. It is a fear that says God cannot provide. Or it's a fear that says God will not provide. Huh? Now, if you're sitting back and saying, well, I know that God can provide, but I'm just a poor old sinner saved by grace, and I don't really deserve God's blessing, then you better get saved. You better get saved. And I'll tell you something else. Most people that say that don't believe it. Most people that say that are seeking their own righteousness. They're wanting you to come up and pat you on the back and say, Now, sister, or now, brother, we know you're of God, and we know God loves you. Now, don't you go feel that for a moment. They come to me and tell me that. I say, you're right, man. You know, God just can't stand the guts. He's going to toast you in there. You know? And I actually asked them, well, how can you say that about me? I said, well, you just said it. I'm agreeing with you. Do a more touch with me, man. What it be? I'll agree with you if you want to talk like that. You can be toast in hell. Or, what? Be strong and have a good courage. Be strong and have a good courage. Stand in the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God if you have to. I'll tell you what, many a day, this very Bible right here, I've thrown it on the ground and stood on it. And said, Lord, I'm standing on your Word because there's nothing else I can do but stand on your Word. I've had to do that. You can tell that thing's worn. But it works. It works. People say to me, oh, you treat your Bible that way? Yeah, I do. I really do. Because God tells me to stand on the Word, and I take Him literally. That's just like in His God's Word, He says, go preach the gospel to every creature. I take Him literally on that too. I preach to dogs, cats, crickets, bees, birds, butterflies. Anything that'll sit there and listen, I'll even preach to you. So I take God seriously. I preach to all preachers. I don't care if they got one leg, two legs, four legs, six legs, eight legs, or 100 legs. I'll still preach to them. If they don't have any legs, I'll preach to them. Let's just wiggle there and listen. I don't care. Kind of wiggle there like some of these people do, you know? You watch it, you kind of wiggle around. But Ricky likes to call it jellyfish. But praise God. The Word of God is sure and it's fast and it's sharper than any two-inch sword. And it's about time we start using it. Amen. It's about time we start using it. Now you can't sit back and say, Lord, you gotta bless me, Lord, you gotta bless me, and not do the things that God tells you to do. If you want God to bless you, then you've got to be in His Word. Amen. In Revelation, what does it say? Revelation chapter 1. What does it say there? Blessed are they. What is it? Who's got it? Revelation chapter 1.
I've got it. It says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the word for the prophecy.
Blessed?
3. Verse 3.
Yeah.
Is he that readeth. And
blessed
they,
is he that readeth.
And they that hear the words of this prophecy.
And they that hear the words of this prophecy.
And keep those things which are written therein.
And keep those things which are written therein. You see, it's not good enough to hear the word. It's not good enough to read the word. You have to read the word, heed the word, hear the word, and keep the word. Now, here's where fear comes in. You can hear the word and still have fear. You can read the word and still have fear. But if you have fear, you cannot keep the word. Because the first time somebody out there in the world makes an ugly face at you, you're going to cower down to them. The first time somebody out there in the world makes like they're going to reject you, you're going to cower down to them. Because of fear. So we have to get a handle. Have to get a firm handle on what this thing fear is. It's not an emotion. It's not you. Now I know there are a lot of people that would disagree with this, and I don't care. It doesn't bother me a bit what they think. I know that what I'm saying here is true. Fear is a spirit. It is a demon spirit. It is a fiery, dark, out of hell from Satan. But there is only one cure for it. Shield of faith. The shield of faith. I love what the Word of God says about that thing. It says, taking up the shield of faith, what? To quench the fiery darts of the devil. See, look at this now. I hope you can see this. Most people think of a shield, they think of something metal that stands before them. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the shield of faith were made of metal or gold or whatever, then the fiery darts would bounce off of them. Amen? Am I right?
Yes.
They would bounce. Well, if I'm in this church and I have my brothers and sisters around me, and a fiery dart comes at me and I use a shield against it, what's going to happen? It's going to bounce off me and hit a brother or a sister. Right? But the Word of God doesn't say that take up the shield of faith to bounce off the fiery darts. It says to quench the fiery darts. To quench them means to put them out. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I only know of one thing that will put out fiery darts. Scripturally. Water. Amen. Only water will put out fiery darts. Therefore, the shield of faith is made of water. Not made of metal. Made of water. Quenches the fiery darts. Well, if it's water, and we're talking Bible here, aren't we? We're talking about the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. The book authored by God the Father. Amen? Alright. That same book whose name is Jesus. Alright. If that's the book we're talking about, then water is the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus. The only way to defeat fear is through Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You defeat a spirit with another spirit. Huh? Do you see it? You defeat a spirit with another spirit. If you want to defeat a thing, get something bigger and better than it. Amen?
Amen?
Well, the Holy Spirit is bigger and more powerful than any fear spirit or any demon spirit. So, in the name of Jesus, when fear strikes, you take the shield of the Holy Spirit, that water of the Holy Spirit, and you hold that water out there, and you say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this fear by the power of the Holy Ghost. And watch, you'll hear it. You'll hear it. I've heard it. And I mean, I've been some scared sometimes. I've been some kind of scared, but you got and all of a sudden I just realized that, you know, that doesn't feel good. Fear does not feel good. And I've been there, and all of a sudden I said, Jesus. Sit down with you in the name of Jesus. I repeat that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Actually, yeah. Kind of like in my spirit. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of that fear. In order to get rid of it, you have to first understand fear is not of God and it's not part of His people. It's part of Satan. How can you say you are of God? How can you say you walk with God? How can you say you believe God and you entertain something that's ungodly as fear? Huh? If we go back to the scripture, the righteous, what is it? The ungodly and sinner cannot stand in the assembly of the righteous? Huh? Alright, I might step on toes, but listen to this. If fear is part of your life, then you are unrighteous. Are you telling that one over there, Wes? If fear is part of your life, then you are unrighteous. But get rid of the fear through the washing of the Word of God, get rid of the sin, get rid of the rebellion, get rid of the disobedience through the washing of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Become righteous, fear will not be able to stand with you anymore. Fear will no longer be able to stand by you or with you anymore. So you see, going back, the whole thing is being in Jesus. If Jesus is in you and you are in Jesus, then everything that belongs to Jesus is yours. And you have full access and authority to use it. Every bit of it. And it's time Christians start doing it. It's time Christians start rebuking fear, rebuking sin, renouncing sin, walking away from it, getting away from it, and walking away with the power of God in it. To conquer it. To be victorious. God said to Joshua, every place that the treasure of that you, the sole of your foot treads upon, I'll give it to you. Claim it. It's yours. I preached a sermon one time about walking through the state of Vermont, or traveling through the state of Vermont, or any other state as far as that goes, and claiming the land for Jesus Christ. How many do it? How many do it today? I'm still doing it. Oh, I imagine some of you did it a couple times. Some of you maybe even did it a few times. But how long was it before you forgot and stopped doing it? Part of receiving the prosperity of God and part of walking in the prosperity of God is to continue in the Word of God. If God gives you something and you don't continue in it, then you're not continuing in His Word daily, are you? So we have to do this. We have to learn to do this. If the Pope can come over here and get off his airplane, his poop mobile, and bend his pudgy little face down and kiss the ground, and that's not an act of humility, that's an act of disgusting pride, because when he reaches down to kiss that ground, he's claiming that ground for himself. That's what that means when he does that. If the Pope can get off the airplane in front of thousands of people, millions of people, and kiss the ground to claim the ground and claim this country for his own self, why can't you as believers walk through the country and claim this ground, this country, for Jesus Christ? What a shame. What a shame. It's time we start doing it. It's time we start doing it. It's time to walk in the prosperity of God. It's time to stop talking about it. It's time to start doing something about it. This week we've looked at scriptures to see what it takes to do something about it. There's a lot of wishers out there. I'm going to tell you something about wishers. Wishers are people that sit on the backside wishing things will happen. And they don't. Doers are those who get out there and do it. And the things happen. I never saw anywhere in the Bible where anyone healed anybody by wishing it would happen. Can anybody show me an example in the Word of God where a person was healed because somebody else was wishing they were healed? No, people were healed because somebody stood up and said, "Be healed." That's why they're healed. Because somebody stood up and did something. As Christians, that's to be our rule. Is to stand up in the name of Jesus Christ, being strong and of a good courage, and do the works of God. Amen.
Amen.
So the fourth step is what? Be strong and of a good courage. Get rid of that fear. It's not of God. It'll destroy you. Get rid of it. Confuse it. Some of you have been fringed with fear for a long time. Some of you have had it, hollered it, met it, called it endearing names. Let it come in the house with you and live with you for a long time. Well, open your eyes. It's an adder. It's a poisonous viper. It's a pig. It is all that which is ungodly, and it will kill and destroy you. Get rid of it. Cast it out of the house and replace it with love, power, and a sound mind. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.